It's your biggest sports show on Saturday morning. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, and Fox Footy's Kath Lochman as they talk all things sport and tackle the big topics.
You look very tall in the photo, actually, Joey.
Well, he was standing up.
Shoulders back.
Great.
You look great.
Look, very rare do I look tall, but standing next to you two, I sort of actually don't look out of place.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joey had a little smile on his face as that was being run.
Yeah, well, I'm used to being at a footy club where everyone's 6'5" and tower over me, so it's nice to be in here with people my own height. That's all I say.
Hey, glass half full, Joey. Like, you were in and under. You were over the hard ball. You were hard to catch. You were speedy and swifty.
That's it, Jay-Z. I never really felt I was that small when hanging around the boys. You just sort of don't do. And then you'd walk past like a window or a mirror or something, and you'd walk past and realise how short you were compared to the other boys. But that's all right. Nice to be here. Good morning to you, Kath. How are you?
Good morning, everyone.
Jay-Z.
Good morning, Kath.
I had a horrendous start to the day. I went for a run, came back, hot water not working.
Oh, it's a setback.
Who does the whole cold shower voluntarily? It's horrendous.
They talk about the Wim Hof method, though. You know, the guy who like can stay in like ice water for like 20 minutes at a time, and it's meant to make you really happy.
I was going to ask, have you woken up like more
zen
well, or fresh? Because when you have a cold shower, apparently you're meant to be more up and about in the morning.
I actually hate to admit it. But I did walk through here and I was like, oh, I'm feeling good this morning. I think maybe the cold shower did have something to do with it. How are you, Jay-Z?
I'm good. Hey, I really feel like it's comfort food time. Like, you know, we get to sort of, what is it? We're nearly June yet. It gets real cold. We're wearing jackets. And it's like, this is the time where I turn to the toasted sandwiches. And they're a real silent killer for me, Joey. And my ability to sort of, you know, just.
Where's your best toasty?
Well, I like to make them at home, and I'm a cheese and tuna guy.
Cheese and tuna. With a little bit of mayo or anything, just to give it a bit of...
No, not texture.
I'm sorry. Leroy and I are on the same page here.
No good.
Cheese and tuna.
I know.
Big red flag.
Yeah, it's weird. But so what are you going to, like, when you're feeling a little bit cold or you want something
definitely
that's a bit
not
yummy?
A cheese and tuna toasted sandwich.
Yeah, speaking of that, so last night, I was just telling Kath off here, my wife went out for dinner. So once the kids went down to bed about 7 o'clock, you know what it
is? Ice cream.
Ordered a pizza. Yeah, 4 beers and a pizza by myself. Watch the footy. That's more. Look at Leroy now. Leroy's nodding with that one. Don't worry about a tuna and cheese toasty.
Wait, about you, Kath? Are you a sweet tooth kind of person?
Not really. I'm not a massive sweet tooth.
I could knock off a block of Kit Kat like no man's business.
Yes, Kit Kat's dangerous. Yeah. The gold Kit Kat. Don't go there.
No good? Oh, no. Just addictive.
Too good.
What do you do, Kath? When you're sort of like home on a Sunday, you're like, I'm really going to tuck into something here. What's your, that pops, you know, no, you shouldn't be. What would you be going for?
I do like crispy M&Ms.
Yeah.
They get a good run if I'm feeling a little bit naughty.
It's hard not to eat the whole bag.
That's true. Hey, I'm fired up today too. We're going to get into that. I want to talk about last night's game. Everybody today is up in arms about the umpiring.
Yes.
Why do you give him such a hard time, Joey?
Didn't I text you early in the second quarter
last night? Yeah, your knickers in a twist,
and
mate.
And said the umpires are doing my head in. That was in the second quarter. Wait till we get to the end of the game. My God.
Joey is fired up and ready to go this morning, so we're going to get to that shortly. But we will celebrate the Sydney Swans win because it was an awesome game at the SCG last night.
Got it back to Bud on his favourite left foot. That was going to go straight through for the second. He kicked it. He stole it. He'd taken the lot. Haywood's taking the mark. And then he's kicked a drop kick goal, I reckon.
Lance Franklin. Bang. He hits it absolutely perfectly. Bud's got four.
Logan McDonald to McInerney. Ample over the top. Wicks is going to get it. Joe the Goose. And the Swans fans as he kicks it 64 rows back.
The Swans are home in a classic game of football with a controversial finish.
It was a Friday night thriller in Sydney. The Swans trailed Richmond by 33 points, but Lance Buddy Franklin inspired them to a six-point win, Buddy kicking 5 goals, including 3 in the last quarter. There was a bit of controversy at the end, and we'll get to that in a second. But, boys, what a win for Sydney. They're now 7-4.
Yeah, it was a huge win. Coming into the game, we thought it was a 50-50 game. Both these teams were about where they were on the ladder. I think there was only just a tiny bit of percentage separating them. And I think at the end of the game, we showed that these two are very evenly matched. Mm. I tipped going into the game Richmond,
so
thinking that their football was a bit better than the Swans. At some stage during that third quarter, in particular after halftime, it looked like Richmond by how far. So full credit to Sydney to find a way to fight back. It was a coaching masterstroke from John Longmire.
He put
Callum Mills behind the ball because Sydney couldn't stop Richmond scoring, and Sydney were really struggling to get their ball flow going. So by putting Mills starting on a wing and behind as an extra defender, it changed the face of the game, made Sydney defend better, allowed them to move the ball better, and they got themselves in the contest. Big win for the Swans, yep. Jay-Z, because we were texting last night, and if Sydney had have lost, they were in a bit of danger because they've got Melbourne coming up this week. Then after the bye, I think they had three tough games. They had Essendon, and then they had Fremantle away and the Western Bulldogs. So it was going to be a tricky little period for the Swans. So it was a big win for them to stay in the top eight.
The greatest advice Mike Sheen ever gave to me, right? The legendary chief football writer at the Herald Sun was put players on a pedestal, right? We don't put players on a pedestal last night. And I was watching Lance Franklin and I thought, who else could be doing this? Like, this was one of those ones where I just sat back on the couch and I wonder whether we're all the same and just thought, he is dobbing goals with the whole world, with the whole country watching him. He is made for this stage. Like, it was just one of those times where it was just the absolute magnificence of Lance Franklin and it was absolutely on show. So then we say, oh, gee, was he worth it? $9 million and a 9-year deal. Who else can do that, Kath?
That conversation is surely redundant.
Of course it is.
I can't believe people still ask that. Oh, was it worth it? Of course it was worth it. And re-sign it. When is he out of contract?
He's out of this year.
Yeah, I'll see him this year or next year.
And he's come off a bit of a flat.
100% he plays next year.
I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Yep.
I'd be shocked at this point. Who else can... Has anyone kicked that long goal better than him? Like, you know those ones from 50?
Off two steps.
And you just thought, he's going to kick this?
Yeah.
Like, if he was 25 metres out straight in front, I think, oh, I'm not sure. But from there, he absolutely nails it. But how does Richmond... Like, this was a choke from the Tigers, wasn't it?
I wouldn't say a choke. They'd be certainly disappointed
they
with their second half.
They were 31 points up, Joey.
Yes. It was a bad loss for them.
What?
Tricky.
Well, how are Richmond fans feeling this morning? They're going, where did this go wrong for us?
Yeah, well, as I said, I think the game changed. They couldn't, in the end, stop Sydney being able to move the ball. Richmond then struggled to score. It was really fascinating. It's probably something you can go a bit more in-depth on maybe later in the week. But Richmond are a team that surge the ball. They get it in, they lock it in, and then they pressure, and we know about the way they play. Which was good early. But as we said, once Sydney had an extra defender, they probably needed to adjust. You couldn't just keep kicking the ball in and thinking you'd keep getting the same results.
So what should they have done?
Well, they probably needed to use the extra numbers through the midfield and be just a bit more patient and not just kick it in long. And they are a team that, you know, when they have Tom Lynch there, they just kick it to a big contest. Yeah. If they don't mark it, they get ground level. They missed his presence. And, that's one that got away because the Richmond run, I don't think, is that much easier. They've got the bye now. I'm pretty sure they've got Geelong and another team in the top eight after the bye.
So we had this conversation in real time last night because there's 9 teams in the race for 8, and it's like, well, who is going to fall out? Because if the Bulldogs come in, Kath, one team is going to come out. And Joey in the game said it'll be one of these two. I thought maybe the Bulldogs, but he thought one of these two. So now Richmond's run, they go Port Adelaide,
Carlton, Geelong.
West Coast, Gold Coast, North Melbourne. So there's three wins there.
Yeah.
Then Fremantle, that's a 50-50. And it's a Fremantle, sorry. Then Brisbane, Port Adelaide, Hawthorn, Essendon to finish. Mm. So of the 8, you see that they're the one now who is most vulnerable.
I just think Western Bulldogs will make the finals. I think they'll sneak in. I said to you last night, I think they will. I still think the Western Bulldogs are good enough. And I think that for me, Richmond or Sydney were maybe the two that are vulnerable, that are inside the top 8 as we speak. So I think it was that we might look back at this round and say how significant this game was if Richmond are the team that just miss out on a spot in the top 8, but still plenty of footy to play from here.
There were some hugely controversial moments. The Lance Franklin hit, I think we disagree on this one. And
we're going to talk about this now?
That late 50-metre penalty, we come back?
Lance Franklin hit now? Or
we'll come back.
You got a view on it? You strong? On your
I'm
view?
Strong.
Oh, boy.
I'm strong on my view. Are you strong on your view, Joey?
I'm maybe not as strong as you two. I want to hear you two go at it.
Okay.
But I want to talk about the umpiring in general.
Yeah.
Well, you'll hear our strong views next. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Kath.
The Dead Set Legends. Triple M.
Gents, we've got a bit to talk about with last night's umpiring and also the incident involving Buddy Franklin and Trent Cotchin. Let's start with Buddy. Do you think he's in trouble, Jay-Z?
I can't see that he gets off, Kath. Potentially at the tribunal, maybe. But if you look at the framework, this is, tell me if I'm wrong here, we'll go through it step by step. Was it intentional? Yes, it's clearly an intentional whack. He's looked him in the head and whacked him in the head.
Right.
Has to be intentional, right? Where does he make contact? It's high, right? It's to his head.
Yep.
We know that. Cotchin's head snaps back, right? What is the force? Well, I would say that Cotchin snapped his head back but kept going with the game. So that's low,
yep.
Right? So that's intentional. High contact, low force.
But what was this? What is it? A strike?
To strike?
Is it a strike? An open hand push to the face?
That's the thing, right? So what will happen this morning is they'll look at every angle and it is a bit obscured, right? And that is a bit obscured.
It wasn't clear cut.
So that is where, right, I think the MRO have to, with that framework, grade it intentional high-low. It gets a one-match suspension. And then if I was Sydney and I was Buddy, I would contest it on the grounds that you just raised, Joey. Can you see that this is clearly a strike? Does he make contact? Yes, you see Cotchin's head snap back, but we have to be able to see that contact was actually made. So I think Michael Christian has to grade this as intentional high-low. That's one match. And then I think it's up for the tribunal to go over the absolute specifics. But there may be camera angles that we just haven't seen yet. There's like 40 cameras at the game or whatever. Yep. And so...
Well, there was a lot of push and shove in the lead up to it.
Yeah.
And then just prior to that strike on his face, he was just pushing him in the chest.
Yep.
And then obviously, I don't know, I need to see the vision in front of me, but Trent Cotchin almost went down a bit and that's why it struck him in the face.
Ooh.
But it was a palm.
Yeah, I don't want to see a play miss the game for that.
I think when you saw it first, you thought, oh, gee, was that a punch almost? Yeah. But then seeing the replays, it was palm.
Yeah. It was more dramatic was from the Cotchin. I think the Cotchin reaction made it a bit more dramatic on the
TV. Yeah, he swung his head back.
Yeah. And you guys have fallen into the superstar rule here.
No, it's not.
It's a Nat Fife thing. Well, do you think about the current climate?
Let's get into the current climate.
Do you want kids watching that and saying that's okay? It's the wrong message, but if you want to send the wrong message, Kath, then you can send the wrong message.
I love how everything in the AFL now comes back to what the kids think when they're watching at home, because that is part of the problem with the umpiring.
Go on.
Also, on that, don't tell me that a twilight grand final doesn't suit kids because it's a ratty hour or whatever. When there is Friday night footy starting at 7:50 every week and Saturday night footy at 7:30. Don't wheel out the whole kids line.
Yes. Were the Tigers robbed last night, Kath?
Sorry, we're all a bit fired up this morning, aren't we? So 61 free kicks.
Yep.
What is that? A free kick every two minutes
there's a free kick being paid. It's embarrassing at the moment, the umpiring in the AFL. The amount of free kicks that they are paying, the Tiggy Touchwood soft free kicks that are getting paid that are not allowing players to contest and see a spectacle that we want. And there are free kicks that...
What are you talking about?
There's
what sort of stuff?
Now they are paying a free kick. Every time you pressure a player when they kick the ball, if you touch them when they kick the ball, they're paying a free kick downfield. Mm. It's not impacting the game at all. Tiny little holds in a marking contest that aren't affecting players' ability to go for the ball.
What about the Gibkiss one on Franklin? Did you see that late? The Gibkiss where they kicked that long goal, that 50-metre goal, where he just tugged his jumper?
They're tiny little tugs. They're paying free kicks. This new one, prohibitive contact, that they kept. What is prohibitive?
Yes.
Basically, you know, that is, it's no real rule, but we'll just say you're not allowed to do it, so we'll call it prohibitive contact. Like, it's people are, Jay, and you know, we were getting texts in our WhatsApp groups, Lee or you as well. Everybody last night was getting frustrated with the amount of free kicks that don't allow players to compete and do it fairly. So the people that think that more free kicks make for a better spectacle, I disagree. It's putting people off. Last night was a prime example, and it's really frustrating.
I feel like that disconnect is as big as it's ever been. Well, exactly what you're talking about. I feel like that is a really, like, we're always a bit whingy about the umpires, but I feel like that's at a...
And even the interpretation. So we were told if you knock the ball out in a tackle, we got told from Brad Scott, that's not holding the ball because you have to make a tackle. Balls are getting knocked out in tackles that they're paying free kicks for. I think the holding the ball rule is confusing. It's just at the moment, it is affecting the quality of the
Dog's
game.
Breakfast.
And you know what's annoying is that come finals time, they'll put the whistles away and there won't be much prohibited contact in September. And we will just go, where was this all season?
Exactly.
This is how we want the game to be umpired. But let's talk about last night, particularly the incident that's blown up on Twitter is what happened on the final siren. So Chad Warner booted the ball into the crowd on the final siren after Dion Prestia had been paid a free kick, which is normally a 50-metre penalty.
Yep.
But the umpire, Dean the Swan, hadn't heard the whistle amid the crowd and the siren. Here's what happens on the final siren.
Preston's free kick.
Yes, from there.
Hold. Preston, he kicked the ball into the crowd after he free kick.
50 metres, I think.
No.
Dion Prestia free kick.
He didn't hear the whistle.
He didn't know.
Okay. Just common sense, okay?
So then Prestia had a shot from about 65 metres out. Yep. It fell well short and Swans win the game. Mm. What did you think of this? Was it common sense?
So let's work backwards. First of all, it was common sense because I would have liked it not to have been paid for that reason. It was common sense. The siren had gone. The whistle had gone. Prestia wasn't going to be able to have a shot for goal anyway. So common sense was the right thing. But then I work backwards. we just spoke about Jay-Z. Umpiring is not umpired on common sense. It's the frustration of the game. They pay every technical free kick that's there. Technically, that was there. Technically, we paid this. They justify every decision by saying technically.
Yep.
But then when it suits, they say, oh, in this situation, it's common sense.
Yeah.
You can't do that as an umpire. You
can't pick and choose.
I would love to have every AFL game umpired with common sense.
Yep.
That would change the way the game is umpired. You pay the obvious ones. If you retard a player from contesting the ball or winning the ball or disposing, it's a free kick.
Yep.
But unfortunately, we pay Tiggy Touchwood technical black and white free kicks. So if that's how they're umpiring, they had to pay 50 metres on the siren.
Yeah.
You can't pick and choose when to play common sense and when to pay technical free kicks.
And it's a good point because now every time that happens, right, the player always says, oh, I didn't hear it or I didn't know, right? That's always 95%. That's the defence. So how now does the umpire go, oh, well, too bad sort of thing because they have applied that common sense ruling. I mean, to be honest, Chad Warner kicked it away after he heard the siren, right?
Yes.
So he at that point, he thought the game
was over.
Well, game was dead. Mm. So I think this, I think the AFL will take half a second to tick this off and it, you know, it's the correct decision.
Why is
it?
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know if it's
as in the non
fifty. It's not the correct decision.
It's technically not.
Technically not. The correct decision technically is that it's a 50-metre penalty.
Oh, I can't disagree with you.
One of my bugbears is when we complain and we don't provide a solution.
Yes.
So if you're Brad Scott, what are you doing from here? Are you holding a press conference where you're saying, and you're also holding meetings with the umpires, obviously, saying, you know what, we do need a bit more common sense back in the game. Maybe we've got a bit too technical. But the problem with that is you're sending the umpires so many mixed messages.
And that's what I want to make clear. I don't think this is the umpire's fault, to be honest.
No,
they are paying these free kicks because I don't know what they're being coached and what they're being told because even that little brush of the arm of Daniel Rioli coming off – why in an umpire thinks that that is a free kick, they're clearly being coached or told to pay them.
Mm.
So this is where there's a disconnect. It's not the umpire's fault. I think the whole coaching philosophy, the coaching philosophy around umpiring, I feel, needs a shift because the technically
needs to be simplified.
Yeah. The technicalities, I think, are the ones that are really frustrating the supporters.
To everyone who does umpire, particularly at community level, who's
listening right now. It's going to be harder for them. Right now, it's so hard for the community umpires.
I take my hat off to
you. Yeah, I agree.
Because I know that I wouldn't do as good a job. Like, with the protected area, with all this stuff, like the hands up, the ruck contest, like it's so overcomplicated. I think they do a phenomenal job of operating within the boundary lines they
see. I agree. How would a community umpire today know what holding the ball is and what's not? If you go by what you see at AFL level, if you have a split second to get rid of it, if it's incorrect disposal, but if it gets knocked out, but if you do a 360, like it's so hard. So hats off to all the community umpires out there today.
I had a new umpires boss as well during the week.
Yes.
Which
is out of respect to Sam Landsberger and his incredible reporting, I feel. But what do you think about the stand of the game? Haven't all these changes, these extra layers, helped open up the game?
The rule changes to the way the game is better.
That's
I love the stand on the mark rule. People that say that hasn't, that's made a huge difference. Ball movement is better for it.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind most of the free kicks about, you know, last kick out of bounds or the intentional. I don't mind most of them. Some are a bit harsh. I think it's opened up the game.
Yeah.
But now too many free kicks are just putting fans off. If they let it flow a bit more, we'll find we've got a great spectacle in our hands.
Take a deep breath, everyone.
So this is what happens. Kath has a cold shower and then we all get a bit crazy.
I'm all a little bit zen this morning. All right. Jeez, that was intense. But well discussed because it is a massive issue in the game at the moment.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Hoping for a crowded house at Amy Park tonight because it is all eyes on Amy Park for the men's A-League grand final between Melbourne City and Western United. Legendary goalkeeper Mark Bosnich joins us on the line. Bosa, thanks for your time. I know many would have liked victory to reach the grand final in order to try really sell out Amy Park tonight, but what an achievement by Western United in just its third season to be in the grand final.
Yeah, good morning to you all. A fantastic achievement by John Lealoisi and his men. Like you said, only their third season in existence, and you know, the last season, at the end of last season, they suffered 8 straight defeats. So to come back like they did, and pretty much the last, you could say, I think 8 to 10 weeks without their best player, or arguably their best player, and Diamante, to make the grand final is a wonderful achievement. And but they need to do, and I'm sure they'll be thinking that. There's no use people talking about this beforehand. We want to like go down in the history books to say not only was it a great achievement, but we went on to win the grand final. And they got all ahead of them as they're coming up against the reigning champions who are once again in their third straight grand final in Melbourne City, who finished, you know, minor premiers as well, if you like, or finished first past the post. I think they call it premiers plate. So So it's a massive game. So congratulations to both teams for getting into grand final. All the very best for tonight.
So do you give the underdogs any chance, Bozza?
Oh, of course, of course. 100%. The way that they play, they don't mind for teams to come onto them. They don't mind to sit back and defend, to soak up pressure and to hit them on the counter-attack. And also as well, like when you've got an experienced manager, it's very, very important that you have a manager on the one-off game who can completely relax the players and give them absolutely no fear to go out there. And John Aloisi, they've got that. But like I said, Melbourne City will definitely go in as favourites as well. And they're reigning champions, so they will have nothing to fear either.
Yeah, they will. Hey, Bozza, before we get into the Champions League, just want to ask you about your old mate, Dwight York, coming down to Australia to coach MacArthur. We spoke to him a few weeks ago. He told us a few stories about when you boys used to go out. But how exciting is that for the A-League?
Oh, it's fantastic news. Fantastic news, you have to say, for the local league. Fantastic news for Dwight. It was great to have him the other night in charge of the All-Stars. And he's really determined. We were out last night with him and his new bosses, the owners of MacArthur. So I could just tell. I've known him, like I said to you, for nearly over 30 years now, and how determined he is to make sure that, obviously, he does a good job. This is his first opportunity in management. He's waited for a long time. And that he does a good job for MacArthur, and that will reverberate on for the league as well. So all to do, like I said, you know, he said it last night as well. I can talk all I want, but the bottom line is the proof's in the pudding.
Yep.
We're talking to Mark Bosnich on Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joe, Jay and Kath. And Bozza, how do you think he's going to go in a management role? Because we've heard some pretty funny stories about his time out on the town.
Look, no problem whatsoever. But I think a lot of people, I'm biased, first and foremost. You need to put that because I am, like I said to you, I've been his closest friend in for over 30 years, in football anyway. You don't get to where he got without hard work and determination. He came over as a young kid at 16 or 17 from Trinidad Tobago to England. You don't get to the stage he done without it. But understandable that there's going to have people who are going to be a little bit skeptical. And it doesn't guarantee when you've been a great player that you're going to be a great manager. But from my perspective, I just know him that when he puts his mind to something, in my opinion, that he will do it. But again, I'm not asking for a full chance for him, just half a chance. And I believe, given half a chance, that he will do the job.
We spoke to him not so long ago, and I was really engaged. Like, he was so engaging in that interview. I love his story, but let's be honest, Bozza, when you and Dwight York walk into a Sydney bar, thus sees part, my friend, and if you're going out again, you can shoot us a text. We'd love to come along. Champions League final. Bozza, move. I'll leave it there. Liverpool versus...
No, you're going to leave it there.
Liverpool versus Real Madrid. Oh, there is going to be a lot of tired people tomorrow because this is definitely going to be one to stay up late for. What do you think happens, mate? This is huge.
100%. This is the one. This is one of the most watched sporting events in the whole of the world of sport. It's the biggest game in club football across the world. You've got two of the most successful teams in this competition, Real Madrid with 13 titles, Liverpool with 6. I would say Liverpool are one of the best teams this season. But Real Madrid, I don't think you could say were. In the three knockout ties that they had, the round of 16, the quarterfinals, and the semifinals, all three games, and I've been watching them again just to go over everything for tomorrow morning, they were pretty much down and out. But like a great old fighter, they just wouldn't give in. And in those whole three games, they had little moments of 5 to 10 minutes where they just scored 2 and 3 goals. It was amazing to watch. And when you see something like that in any sport, you start thinking to yourself, is the name on the trophy? Is their name on the trophy? Because it's just amazing. So they will go in as underdogs, a little bit like we're talking about with West. You know, Liverpool were going as favourites, rightfully so. They've won 2 trophies already this season, the FA Cup and the League Cup. They were very unfortunate not to win the title. Man City pipped them last weekend. They've only lost 3 games all season in all competitions. They've actually lost less games in all competition than Real Madrid have lost in this competition. So they'll go into this game as favourites. A little bit of an injury doubt about a couple of their players. Van Dijk hasn't played since the FA Cup. Mo Salah was on the bench. And Ali Thiago, he pulled up lame a little bit against Wolves on the weekend. So that could be a huge thing. And, of course, these two teams played each other in 2018 when Real Madrid triumphed. And all the way back in 1981, funny enough, in Paris, where Liverpool triumphed as well. So everything to look forward to. We've just been here in one of the bars. I know we've got a live site stand that is in Melbourne. We've just been into one of the bars, Craig Foster and I, here in Sydney Cheers Bar, where they're going to host both sets of supporters. I'm not so sure it's a good idea. I just told the landlord. But everyone's absolutely pumped. And like you said, live on Stan Sports from 4:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. But that's obviously the East Coast. And also 9 Gem. We'll be showing it as well from 4:30 a.m. Kickoff is at 5.
Yeah, and a lot of Australians support Liverpool. Yes. Huge Liverpool contingent in Australia. Are you tipping Liverpool?
Look, growing up as a Manchester United player, it was pretty much ingrained in you. I'll put it this way, in a nice politically correct way, that Liverpool were our biggest rivals. Put it that way. So there's not a lot of sympathy towards them. However, I truly love England. It gave me so much. I was there for 20 years and I got a real soft spot for the country. So I'm going to stay with the English team in Liverpool.
Oh, fantastic, Bozza. We love talking to you, mate, because you bring us all up. You put a smile on our face. Have a great call, mate. And
we've
really
so
enjoyed
much,
your time
guys.
Today.
Thanks, Bozza.
Take care.
Oh,
bye.
Mark Bosnich, I tell you what, if there's an autobiography to read, I would love to listen to his version, because he has had quite a life, it's fair to say. I tell you what, you can watch Liverpool versus Real Madrid in the UEFA Champions League final ad-free, live and on demand on Stan Sport in 4K and live on 9 Gem tomorrow from 4:30 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. To start your 7-day free Stan Sport trial, visit stan.com.au/football.
So 4 a.m. The question is, do you stay up or do you get up?
No. You get up.
It's a Saturday night though, Kat.
What are you going to do for 3 hours?
True.
Hey, order another pizza and have another 6 beers. You'll be asleep.
You just wanting to paint yourself this party boy raver.
Oh, yeah.
Jay-Z, your favourite time.
Is it?
It is mid-season draft time, Wednesday night.
Excited.
You're excited. Who are we looking out for? Which club could really benefit from the mid-season draft?
Well, it's always interesting because we talk about the number one pick, and at the moment it's between West Coast and North Melbourne. It's going to come down to their games this weekend. So the order is still to be decided in that sense of who will get that first pick. Currently it is West Coast. Now, at the top of the order, Joey, and I'll get some of your thoughts on some of these players, there's two big-bodied midfielders. So there's Jai Cully, 192, great kick, and Josh Carmichael, he's from SA, 189. Again, kicks goals out of the midfield, very strong. Casey Voss is sort of a smart halfback, and some talls as well, Sam Durden, Wade Dirksen, I should say, and then a sort of a Caleb Daniel type, Massimo D'Ambrosio. Now, you talk to clubs recruiters at times, and they're always a bit flat on the leftovers at State League. And I think a real glass half full approach is the best way to approach this, because you look at someone like Hawthorn's Jai Newcombe.
Yeah.
I sort of think that he could win Hawthorn's best and fairest this year. Not just the rising star.
Absolutely. He's Hawthorn's best midfielder.
Against a Brownlow
medalist. And he was a mid-season draft pick last year. That's
exactly
our point coming out of the VFL.
Yep.
Look, I think there could be absolutely a star.
Are you bullish on this group? You've watched them.
Yeah, I am. I think there could be a star, because there's a lot of untapped talent in this group, because you've got to remember, Kath, a lot of these players haven't played a lot of footy over the last 2 years because
point.
Of COVID.
Yep.
So development maybe not has been a bit slower. Maybe the amount of eyes on these players hasn't been as sort of sharp focus as previous years because there's just been less football. So I think there will be a diamond in the rough amongst these players that get selected on Wednesday night. It's just a matter of which club can find the next Jai Newcombe that can just step straight in at AFL level and have an impact. I do think Jai Cully is that player. I've seen him play. So you're saying,
what do you love? The
kid? Oh, he's a big size, but he's an inside and outside player. So a bit like Jai Newcombe. He's tough, wins contest, he tackles hard, but then he's got a bit of class on the outside. He's got a beautiful left foot, can hit the scoreboard, and he's got a really all-round game. So I can see someone like a Cully having an impact straight away.
So I did the ring around this week, and if I understand, and sometimes there's a lot of ducks and drakes here, so you can go sort of crazy trying to bank on this particularly out. But I got told if West Coast have the first pick, that he's their man, Jai Cully.
Cully, right.
That he will be the number one. Also, Josh Carmichael, as I said, from SA 189. Now, Massimo D'Ambrosio, the Caleb Daniel type halfback, nice kick, really clever in play, hurt his shoulder yesterday in Richmond's VFL team. So he's been right under their nose, and he's been playing at that level because recruiters are clearly quite keen on him. What about some of the talls? Wade Dirksen, Sam Durden, Connor Ballenden, former Brisbane, has put a bit of a price on his head, which means he's sort of guaranteed. And, you know, you look around the competition like Collingwood, who needs some key position backup options. Geelong would love a ruckman. Do you feel like there's any of these guys could sort of step in and help now?
The good thing is, and how many teams do you expect to have a pick? There'll be nearly most clubs are going to have a pick in this year's draft, won't there?
It's about 15 at the moment. Now, Ruffhead's retirement at Collingwood yesterday means the Pies have a second pick option. I don't know that they're guaranteed to use it at this
stage. Because it is a bit of a free hit, really, Kath, because you only have to sign them for six months for the remainder of the season. So you can get a look at them in your system.
Yep.
Then work out whether you think they're good enough that can play AFL football, re-sign them for a couple of years, or you can take the risk if you think, look, maybe we've seen him up close and not quite up to it. It really doesn't cost you much at all. Yeah. So I think it's a free hit for clubs. They should take advantage of it. And as I said, I think a diamond will come out of the rough for one of these clubs.
Now, what will the back page story be in the Herald Sun on Thursday out of the mid-season draft? I think if it's Michael Voss's son, Casey, who gets picked up. So he starred in the rep game a couple of weeks ago. I spoke to his coach in the Sandful last year. He said he's the smartest player that he has seen in his program. So he reads it off halfback. He's not an athlete, Joey. He's not going to kick it 100 metres, but he can read the play and he can use it and can use his brains.
Well, now, it's probably only a back page story if Voss's son...
Yes, that's right. If he gets picked, then the Carlton coach's son gets that opportunity. I hope he does. I hope someone.
Any
does
chance
take
Carlton
the part.
Take him? No,
zero. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Are you pushing the romantic?
Yeah, I am. Storyline. No.
But he's the kind of guy that's doesn't going to win you a draft combine test. But he's a footballer who can read the play and win the pill. So I hope something. And recruiters say, well, there's maybe not the upside there. But you could play him in an AFL team.
Well,
tomorrow.
There is one thing. He's got good genetics. That's all I will say. Whether he can play or not, don't
that
know.
That is why
he's...
you're one of the best experts in the game, Lee Montagna.
We cheer for the story sometimes,
we
Kath.
We do.
And I'm
we
cheering
love the romantic
for that story.
Yeah. Plenty to come up in the second hour. We're going to preview round 11 because there are some big games, including a top four clash at the MCG today. Melbourne v Fremantle. Joey, I want you to mount a case of how the Dockers can beat the Demons for me. That's coming up in the next hour. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Kath.
COVID.
This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
That was out of place. Hello, everyone. Joey, Jay-Z. It is a great group shot, isn't it?
It is nice.
Nice little promo shot.
Nice for you to promote it too on your Instagram. We got a lot more interest now. Yeah. It was very good of you, Kath. All your followers.
I just think next time, we drop the arms crossed, look how tough we are, sort of look, and go something that's a bit more.
Someone needs to be a bit more inviting.
Friendly.
I agree.
Yeah, we're a bit stand-up-ish.
Which is probably me.
How is everyone's week?
Are you a big board? You do play board games a lot with the kids, do you?
Yes, heaps.
What's the
that's all we
games?
Do.
Board games.
What? Last night we played Sequence. You know the sequence with the cards?
Oh.
Monkey Bingo. Have you played Monkey Bingo?
Oh, yeah, we play Monkey Bingo.
Monkey Bingo.
But I want to talk about, I've got a game that I think is the game of life, a board game that every parent should play with their kids.
I'm sorry,
I
think why are we talking about board games?
Because I think it's this game. I've been playing a lot of it. That's why I played last night.
It takes too long.
But this game.
Showing Jay-Z
this, no, this game
right now.
It almost epitomises life. I've been playing with Noah. Right. It's Snakes and Ladders. Because you think about Snakes and Ladders, it's like life. You just, when you think you're going to win something, bites you in the... And you go back down the snake, though, isn't it? It teaches you resilience.
Yeah.
Just when you think you're no chance of winning, all of a sudden you get a bit of luck and you're back up the top, Kath.
Yeah.
I think Snakes and Ladders is an underrated board game because it teaches kids about disappointment, about things. I reckon it's a great game.
Yeah. And if you want more philosophy from Joey, call him 133353. We'll go through all that.
He's got real motivational speaker vibes at the moment.
He does.
Standing up.
Yeah, Tony Robbins
style.
Well, you just, when you
the ups and downs of
it
life.
Is. You think you're about to win, all of a sudden a snake gets you and you go back down the bottom, and that's a bit like life. You just got to dust yourself
you
off
morning.
And go
There's
again.
There's something
Kath.
Wrong with you this morning.
Up off the canvas. It's been a funky show. Hey, time for pick one. That's where I try and get you off the fence. I don't want any vanilla answers. I want strong opinions here. And then I'll try and give you a curly question sometimes.
Are we going to answer it in this one now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So Collingwood v Carlton. Can't wait for this. Absolute beauty. Should be 80,000 people at the MCG. Who would you rather at centre-half back in your team tomorrow? Joey, Jacob Wiedering, the Carlton star, or the All-Australian Darcy Moore? Pick one, Lee.
Oh, Wiedering. For tomorrow. Right now, Wiedering.
Yep.
100%.
Wiedering's a better player than Darcy Moore?
Right now, yep. 100%.
Why is that? What's the difference?
Because he can defend. He intercept marks. He's strong. I think Wiedering's been awesome this year. He's in the All-Australian team.
Yep.
Darcy Moore's not even close at the moment this year.
So Steve May.
I know Darcy Moore's had some better seasons, but right at the moment, Jacob Wiedering's probably the second best key defender in the comp behind Stephen May. They're the two best.
So Steve May, Jacob
Daylight.
Wiedering. Fullback, Centre half.
Yep. Yep. 100%.
Okay. Very good.
Joey did not hesitate, did he?
No.
Wietering all the way.
Is he?
He didn't have to think about that.
Yeah, it's a relatively easy one. For
They've got some blokes at Carlton playing unbelievable footy. You think about Kerno Mackay, the midfield.
Yep.
It's amazing.
We'll touch on them later. Can I give you one quickly?
Yeah.
Cripps or Petrarca right now for tomorrow? Who would you take?
Oh, good one.
Thanks, Kat.
I'd take Petrarca because I reckon he can be, you know, that grand final versatile. I'm like, I know. Am I talking down Cripps? Maybe. Maybe that's harsh on Cripps, but I think I'd take Petrarca. I think he's probably a better kick of the football. Do you agree? Do you reckon?
Just wanted an answer, mate. Who are you taking? Get off the fence. Just give me one.
Petrarca.
Okay, good. I like it.
Who are you going?
Cripps.
What? Like you're so under pressure then.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about the answer. What about you?
I'm going Cripps too. Hey, we need to move on because the Monaco Grand Prix is this weekend and Dan Ricciardo's future. This is a really interesting one, Jay-Z, and yes. I have a feeling you want to ask Rusty about this.
Oh, it's a big talking point.
It is a big talking point. Rusty's going to join us next.
Rusty's Motorsport Update. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Good morning, Rusty. Now, everyone, if there's one Grand Prix I want to go to, it's the Monaco Grand Prix. It looks unreal. Anyone been?
No, but it's a definitely bucket list sort of situation, isn't it?
Bucket list indeed. Ferraris were fast in practice, Rusty, but what about the crash with Dan Ricciardo?
Kath, good morning. You would fit right in there. Straight.
I think straight so. I agree, Rusty.
The Cannes Film money. Festival, straight across to Monaco. That's a bit of you. Absolutely a bit of you. So, yeah. Ferrari Charles Leclerc was quick in both practice sessions. Now, Dan Ricciardo was top seven in session one. His teammate Lando Norris about fifth. They're only about a tenth off each other. And Dan says they tuned it up but probably went a bit too aggressive for practice two. And he crashed early there in the swimming pool section of the Monaco layout. So minimal running for him in practice two. That kind of means you're on the back foot a little bit going into qualifying, but there are some positives for him to draw on.
Hey, Rusty, Dan Ricciardo has been genuinely one of the biggest talking points in F1 over the past week or two. So I've been looking forward to asking you this question, man. After Zak Brown's comments this week that his performance hasn't lived up to his or the team's expectations, do you think that Dan Ricciardo will survive beyond this season at McLaren?
So contractually, he has a deal through 2023, right? So there's been a bit of confusion about that, and he's clarified it with a couple of journalists overnight. So that's point number one. I mean, but you guys live the sport generally. You know what contracts can mean and how they can change and be torn up. I think Zach, as a business person, is applying some pressure. Dan will be, he's the kind of athlete who puts plenty of pressure on himself. So, yes, we do probably need to start seeing a bit more, but the car's not a perfect car either. But the hard part is he's being benchmarked against his teammate, Lando Norris, who is consistently doing a very good job. It's an early time to be making that sort of call, but I guess there are some sort of discussions that are going to be happening because, if Zach is putting public pressure on, then sort of tells you what's going on behind the scenes, doesn't it?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Hey, Rusty, lastly, there's no supercars this weekend. Does that mean there's any opportunity for any of the drivers to maybe head over to Monaco?
That's what's happened. So Shane Van Gisbergen, who's dominating supercars, as you guys know at the moment, he is in Monaco for the race, and he's going on to do some GT stuff at Le Mans, which is a really cool thing for him. Nick Percat, who's a Bathurst winner, he's in Monaco as well.
Rusty, how do we get a gig at the Monaco Grand Prix?
Yes, good.
Kath, yes. I am urging you to call on Triple M management for us to be doing an OB there next year. This must happen. Okay.
Challenge accepted.
Yes.
I will get to work. Yes. Thanks, Rusty.
See you guys.
Rusty's Motorsport Update. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
It is Saturday scoreboard. Hey, the Melbourne Storm, they bounced back after two losses in a row,
which
is unusual.
Hang on a second. That was a very flat bit of Saturday scoreboard.
Sorry. Saturday scoreboard. Hey, Melbourne Storm, they had a big win on Thursday night. They smashed Manly 28-8. Penrith also, we know about them. They won 22-0 last night. Game 6 of the NBA is on as we speak, Jay-Z.
Yep.
Boston, Miami, it's been a bit of a disappointing series. It's been sort of pretty average basketball. Both teams are banged up, or particularly Miami are banged up.
Boston's up 3-2, about to go into the final.
So Boston will win today, I would think, and then they're going to play the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. We might get a bit more of a preview next week. Can you see Boston, a bit of a chance?
Challenging him.
Challenging Golden State.
I think the basketball that Jason Tatum is playing at the moment, he could just take it on his shoulders. Can't underestimate Jaylen Brown and Al Horford, who plays team basketball. So they've got some great pieces there, but it would be one of the great victories if Boston can get up over the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. I can't wait for it.
Of course, Golden State beat the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic couldn't beat them all on his own. He tried hard, but he was no match for the Golden State Warriors.
Question, is Doncic, is he as fit as he could be?
Well, probably not. Probably not.
Is he a bit lazy?
Oh, I don't know that. How can I answer that? I don't know. But I think
For all the talent that he's got, does he maximise...
Probably get his fitness up to another level. But he's not an athletic specimen like LeBron James or any of those guys. He's got a different physique. But
we're going to talk about Patrick Dangerfield later too.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
Of the soccer. We spoke to Bozza, but the Man City, congratulations to them winning their fourth EPL title in 5 years. We didn't get to that. And of course, Melbourne City taking on Western United tonight in the A-League Grand Final.
Well done. That was Saturday Scoreboard with Joey. That's better.
I'm going to pick one after this. If you had to go to Monaco, who would you rather take, Joey or I? Right? Have a think about that.
No, I've got an answer. Should I give you my answer now? Or should I tease the audience and say I'm going to give my answer next?
Oh, they're going to be holding their breath waiting for this one.
At least pretend like it's close.
They're not going to switch channels, are they? You know what else I do want to talk about that I'm very excited about?
Oh.
Collingwood v Carlton tomorrow, Sunday afternoon football at the MCG.
And will Cyril Rioli rock up to Hawthorn?
Did you hear Jason Dunstall on AFL 360 Extra the other night?
Remind me.
He did ask, come on, Cyril, we'd love to see you at the game. So when one of the Hawthorn greats of the game, legends of the game, and Jason Dunstall asked him to come, then hopefully he does, because everyone would love to see that. Guys, North Melbourne dominated the news discussion throughout the week. Wednesday, North did that interesting Q&A members forum. And then the next day we have Ben Amafio addressing the media, followed by David Noble. What did you make of it all, Jay-Z, from a journalist point of view?
Oh, look, I've got real concerns about the place, to be honest. I think Wayne Carey said it on the midweek rub with you guys. Joey, I think when you've got three recruits...
Strong line. He said it's a broken football club.
Broken club, delusional, not facing up to their problems on and off the field. So you had three recruiters walk out. Mark Finnegan, who's loved at the place, went to Hawthorn. I think he's good mates with Mark McKenzie. North didn't fight that hard to keep him. The junior recruiting officer just switching industry. I don't think that's a huge deal. But then Glenn Luff, who's a friend to a lot of people in the industry. He worked for Champ and Data and worked with a lot of the media. So we all know him well. We had to put that on the table. But when he walked out and it shocks the club, it comes to the completely surprised them, comes out of the blue. It speaks to the culture, right? Now, I know this is only one person's sort of view, and it's not reflective potentially of the whole staff, but if he's not feeling supported and he's feeling a real disconnect, I think that really needs to be investigated and reviewed, because there's no doubt that the recruiting department and Glenn in particular fell hung out to dry, because we're all criticising him over the Will Phillips, over Logan McDonald pick, which we discussed and debated heavily a year ago, Joey, because it was an unusual one from the get-go. But when the coach, David Noble, Kath, says, we want a midfielder, and they go and pick a midfielder, and then 18 months later, they're sort of like, oh, why didn't you pick the key forward? And it's sort of silence from other parts of the club. Well, yeah, he's not going to feel supported, is he? So...
And it's a hard one in that they continue to maintain it's a perfect storm of coincidence that all three of these staff members have left at the same time a week out before the mid-season draft. It's a difficult one as well, that fine line, the balance between being honest and also selling optimism and hope.
Yeah, and I think they've really got to face up to their problems. As Wayne Carey said, there are some issues here, right? So culturally, I think... there's a question mark, right? Yep. And these next 3 months are huge for the North Melbourne Football Club. The connect between the coach and the players, right? If you speak to player managers, there's enough in there to go, oh, hang on, what is the story here?
And of course the CEO, the coach and the captain are going to say there are no issues.
Of course.
Of course they are.
Yeah, of course. That is their job. So over the back half of the season, you're a North Melbourne fan. This is what you want to see. You want to see development in your young players, right? And that's been a big question mark this year. A lot of players are stagnated or going backwards. You want to see a connect between the players and the coach, and performances improving quite clearly. And you want to see as a whole club, them keeping good people and potentially bringing good good people. So it's been put to me that they could do with another really smart, savvy football executive. So Brady Rawlings is their football manager. Scotty Clayton's in their recruiting department. Ben Armafio is their CEO, and I think he has a fair bit to do with footy. David Noble, of course, we know his background. So whether they can bring in some more football acumen and expertise, I think, to help this rebuild, I think that's what they'll be after. Of course, they got Paul Ruse, but he's been sort of, you know, very consulting part-time sort of basis. So, well, I think, Joey, and I'd be interested in your view, I think they've got a lot of work to do. They've got to get some runs on the board over the next 3 months. Will David Noble be the coach of the North Melbourne Football Club next year? I'm not sure about that. Because if you've got Alistair Clarkson sitting there, that to me is a no-brainer. And remember, Carlton said David Teague was their man too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think simply, I'll write down three words. You're right. There's a disconnect. Well, amongst a lot of parties, from list management, CEO, coach, players, there's clearly a disconnect, which leads to a cultural issue, which means they need strong leadership, starting from the top down, from the CEO to the coach to whoever's running the football department to the playing group. They all need to be strong in their leadership and try and galvanise this football club and all get them on the same page. And that's what I think you're referring to over the next 3 months. If we can see some of that, they might be able to get through this tough period and get through it together as a group and as a coaching staff and as a club. If not, and they can't, and there is still a disconnect, and there's maybe players that want to leave on top of list managers and all these other situations, well, then I think there needs to be change to find a strong leadership that can get this club back up to where all the supporters want it to be.
And if Jason Horne-Francis signs over summer, Kath, or late in the season, then that's a huge tick.
Yep.
But at the moment, I think that's jury out on that. And Adelaide is licking its lips.
But it's not too alarming at this point in time, is it?
No.
That he hasn't re-signed.
I mean, and people are trying to make it a big deal.
I think people are trying to make it a big deal and just, you know, piling on North Melbourne at the moment. Oh, and Jason Horne-Francis hasn't re-signed.
No.
It's just disastrous all around. But it would be silly to re-sign now.
No, but it just it's combined with a few other things that are happening that you hear.
And murmurs,
and then him not telling
him
the
going
club
to Adelaide.
There's a lot of other things that make it combined a little bit of an alarm bell, as opposed to just a first-year player not having re-signed yet.
Yep. Simple question, right? My information is you can't even make a cup of tea without telling the club, basically.
Yes.
Right? Do 100% of the AFL playing group know that if you're going to shoot off interstate for the weekend, that you've got to let someone at the footy club know?
Yes, it is protocol. If you are flying interstate, you need to let someone at the club know. Yeah. It is protocols at every club.
I don't think you can just say it slipped his mind, Kath.
Mm.
No, but he's certainly learnt his lesson now. And he's a first-year player. You're going to make mistakes, and he's made one. And it's been highly discussed and reported, so I'm sure he's learned his lesson, but I understand what you're saying as well.
Adelaide has got their wheelbarrow and they're filling it up, right? And they're whistling down the street as they prepare to like tip it on his front doorstep. Do you like that, Joe?
Not bad.
And he's lived up to the hype, hasn't he, in terms of his on-field performances?
Oh, I think he's an absolute star.
Yep.
You think he'd be North Melbourne's best player by the end of the year?
Yep.
Which is a great call.
Close to North Melbourne's best player.
A couple of big games
now
to preview next. Melbourne v Frio, top four clash at the MCG this afternoon, and then a huge one tomorrow, at the MCG, Collingwood v Carlton. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joe, Jane, Kath.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Gents, Geelong are hosting the Adelaide Crows this afternoon at GMHBA Stadium. No Patrick Dangerfield again.
Yep.
What's your mal on Danger at the moment?
Yeah, he was flat last week. He was just didn't have the energy. He seemed down about things. I think he knew early in that game against Port Adelaide that it wasn't right. He'd been unwell throughout the week, but we also know that there's a strain in his calf, and he was just genuinely flattened by the whole thing. So now he takes a period off, tries to rebuild his calf, get some more conditioning, and then hit the back part of the season running. So they're saying a couple of weeks at the moment. Wouldn't shock me if that's actually extended to get him right. But there's this debate about whether, because he has had so much trouble really over the past couple of years and we haven't been able to see him perform consistently to his explosive best on the park. Mm. So now there's about, right, does he streamline? And even Danger sort of acknowledged that, well, you know, this could be something in this. Now, Scotty Pendlebury, and Joey, you'll say that I bang on about him all the time, but he was as felt as it gets last season. He found a way to drop 3 or 4 kilos. Right, so he was even lighter to help his speed, to help his mobility, to take the pressure off his body a little bit. So for me, and this I think was great comment, great analysis, it looms as a really obvious option for Danger. And I know he's an explosive athlete, but a lighter Patrick Dangerfield with a bit of a rejigged role, I think can still be an absolute weapon. Or do you think he needs to remain his the heaviest, you know, explosive type.
Oh, yeah, I don't think
but did you do it at the end of your career? Did you try
I stayed the same. I was always the same sort of through my career. I mean, I had a different physique to Danger. I wish I had Danger's physique. But, I don't think it's obvious. I don't think it's black or white that he has to, you know, stay the same size or he has to streamline. I think it's, as I think he touched on, it depends on what he sees as more important with his role. So if it's just about his calf and trying to look after his body, I'm not necessarily convinced that losing a bit of weight is going to help calf injuries. That's just a bit of an age thing, and that's a conditioning thing. If he wants to play the way he plays, he needs to stay strong and big and combative. I don't think he needs to worry about his explosiveness. I mean, he's explosive as they come. He hasn't been able to do that because of injury, not because of his physique. I think Dangerfield needs to stay the size he is. I think that's the way that he plays his best football. He's combative. He's more combative than Pendlebury. Pendles has now gone a half back. I think it's not as obvious.
I'm going to disagree with you here, because I think it's time then for Geelong to ease its reliance on Patrick Dangerfield, right? So I think he needs to step out of that cauldron a little bit more, play more forward, play a little bit more outside. Like, I think there needs to be a long-term view on Patrick Dangerfield rather than that week to week, you're our man. Because at the moment, he feels like he still is that trump card in that midfield. Yeah. And I don't think that that's a good thing, if you know what I mean. I know Geelong hasn't had the access to the picks, etc., but I think this is on the blackboard. Right, he can't be that main man in there anymore.
You know what I think? No, I disagree, because I think this is Geelong's last chance to win a flag.
I was just about to say that.
This is their last year with the superstars in Selwood and Hawkins and Danger still being at their peak to be able performance, to be able to challenge teams. I think this is their real last crack at it. So they should be just preparing Dangerfield for the best 8 weeks of his career at the back end of the season, and then lifting his team over the line in a finals campaign. So for him,
what a storyline.
That would be amazing. That's what he should be focusing on. Let's not focus on 2023, 2024.
Yep.
Forget about that. They are in it right now. So Dangerfield should be worrying about getting his body as fresh and as fit as he can to have the best finals series of his career and win a flag. That's all they should be focusing
on. And that's all he'll be focused
on. Of course he will be.
Look at the desperation in his face to win a premiership. Yep. So the time is now for Geelong. Quick one on Saturday night football in Darwin, which is exciting to see in week 2. Of Sir Doug Nicholls' round, so it is Gold Coast hosting Hawthorn at TIO Stadium.
Yep.
Will Cyril Rioli make an appearance, do you think?
It's the story tonight, really. I mean, even more than the game, and maybe I'm being a bit...
Imagine the love if he shows up.
So I think, and I think this might be a bit new, but I think his family members will be there, like potentially his mum might be there.
Right.
Will Cyril be there? I think he's sitting in his Darwin home this morning pondering that same question.
I hope he does.
I think it's probably more unlikely than likely. So I don't think the club is confident that he's going to show up. It would be great if he did. We'd love to build that bridge. Hawthorn are saying that they have reconnected with him in recent weeks. So those talks have begun, and hopefully the relationship can blossom from there. That's not to undermine any of...
if he does show up, that is another big tick to Sam Mitchell and what he's been able to do at this footy club already. That will be a big, big tick. Already he's done great things with their team, but if he can get Cyril Rioli to come back to the footy, I think Sam Mitchell...
Great point. Also, the big news this week, Hawthorn has sold its second Pokies venue.
Saw that.
So that's $3 million of revenue, or it makes Hawthorn about $3 million each year. They'll try and make that up in other areas. But I think that is another good step for the industry.
Good feeling around Hawthorn at the moment, isn't there? Two games to touch on. Firstly, Melbourne v Fremantle at the MCG this afternoon. It is a top four clash. Doesn't really feel like it just because of Fremantle's last fortnight.
Yeah.
Do you agree somewhat?
Well, they've been mighty disappointing the last 2 weeks, but there's
jittery. Yeah, under pressure.
The wet, they have really struggled in wet conditions, not just this season, in previous years. So it's almost like a racehorse that can't handle the wet. You put a line through them and you say, right, back on dry conditions, MCG.
Not wet today.
And you said, Justin Longmuir has put it on his playing
group. I liked that. It was very strong from him, wasn't it? He said, following the Collingwood loss, we've got ahead of ourselves. This is a reality check. So he's really put it on the players. How are they going to respond today against the reigning premiers?
I think they'll take it right up to Melbourne. I think this will be really close. The two best defences in the competition going at it. Do Fremantle have the firepower to match Melbourne? That's going to be the test. I think Fremantle have had a good template and look at teams that have challenged Melbourne, and then you have to take them on. You've got to be prepared to move the ball quick, which Fremantle can do. They've got some players off halfback with Jordan Clark and Hayden Young, etc. If they can get the ball into the forwards, they may give themselves a chance. I can see this being maybe a bit of a low scoring, 80 to 70 type of game, which might give Fremantle a chance. But as we know, Melbourne, they're so hard to beat.
The template is if you turn the heat up on Fremantle, then they'll go to water. Collingwood did it last week, so that's where they need to develop some more of that composure potentially.
And then tomorrow at the MCG, it is Collingwood v Carlton, so 10th v 3rd, and it's a new era in this rivalry because it's Michael Voss v Craig McRae era.
And it's been a long time since Collingwood and Carlton have sort of both been in form at the same time to play one another, so I think this will be an absolute cracker. Looking forward to it. Look, I'm really bullish on the Blues from what we keep seeing. I think they are as tough as you get in the midfield.
Yep.
They've got firepower in their front half, and led by Jacob Wiedering, their defence is getting better. Mm. Still got some slight issues there defending turnover, but they're improving by the week. They're up and about. They're confident. I think they'll be a little bit too good for Collingwood. Love the way Collingwood played last week, but I think Carlton have got more class.
So make me a case for the Pies. How do they do it? How does Craig McRae do it?
I think they've just got to bring that pressure, that forward half pressure we saw at the start of the season. Like, just get after Carlton, make the Blues a bit jittery, which we've seen at times with Carlton, particularly late in games when teams have come back at them. They get a bit jittery. They cough it up a little bit. So if Collingwood bring the heat and get after Carlton and get the crowd going and get that energy, they can push Carlton, but I'd like to see the Blues respond again, handle the situation and have another win.
I think in recent times we've seen really big one-on-one matchups. I think that's sort of coming a little bit back into the game, sort of the Lynch v. Wiedering, that sort of stuff. I think tomorrow gives us one of the best ones potentially. Charlie Curnow on Jeremy Howe, I think looms as potentially the obvious matchup for him. Yep. I think that...
Not Darcy Moore? Why wouldn't the best centre-half back go to the best forward in the comp at the moment?
No, it's a fair call, Joey. It's a fair call.
That would be the one we want to see.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll go with that.
So everyone tipping the Blues?
I think the Blues will win. Oh, I think this would be a great game. I'm really looking forward to seeing 85,000 at the MCG. I'll be calling it for Triple M.
I think
it's the biggest game of the year so far?
The thing is, Collingwood is a bit off, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're not on the Carlton level.
But it is just the old rivalry, traditional rivals.
You'd love to see them just prick that Carlton balloon a little bit.
I just want to see Jack Ginnivan get under their skin, see if they react.
We're all looking forward to that now, create something,
you know.
Is he Milne all over again?
Yeah, Milne, Hayden Ballantyne, those sort of types
and
of players.
And hard to believe he's played 13 AFL games.
Yeah, I know.
But good on him.
It'll be a great game. Really looking forward to it.
What would your advice be to him? Keep doing your thing?
I'd warn him and just say, understand that it can be tough road. If you want to be the villain for the next 13 years, there's going to be some tough times. So if you're prepared to wear that, keep being you, but just be conscious of it, that it's not always going to be as sort of up and about as it is at the moment with the way that he's going about it.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Hey, is anybody else getting sick and tired of getting these texts and phone calls from the scams?
Guts.
Yes.
It's doing
because
my head in.
They're calling mobiles now from a mobile number, so you actually think it's a legitimate call.
It's shocking. I can't believe it's taken me this long for you to tell me off air, Kat, that I can just block the number.
Yeah, I do it all the time. There's a really bad one, the Wine Group. Stop, whoever that is.
I'm getting
the Wine
lost.
Group.
It is doing
Stop
my
calling.
Head in every time I get a message and then it's
block them.
One of these scams. So give me a spell.
I get it every day. Yeah. Is it an everyday thing for you guys?
Nearly, it is. Yeah, but I just realised I can keep blocking them, which I should have done earlier. But anyway, give me a spell, these scammers.
Yes.
Doing our heads in. We all know now.
You said pick one.
Thank you, Kath.
It's going to be
Yes, I know.
Oh,
Jay-Z's going to get upset, Kath.
No, we just think, you know, the dance floor later on, who's got the moves.
Do you know why I am picking this person?
Leroy.
Because I'm building the suspense here. Because he put in a mighty fine effort at the Australian Grand Prix.
Yes. I've got the runs on the board.
Jay-Z to Monaco.
Is that because he rocked up to our show with his same kid on from the night before and he hadn't been to bed?
So you rated that.
I thought, well done. It was fresh kid.
It was not a fresh kid. It was the kid from the night before.
It's like a pit stop. I was in. Wheels on. Out you go. Back on.
You are coming to Monaco with me, my friend.
Thank you, Kath.
What about Dead Set Legend of the Week? Thanks, 4 and 20.
Your Dead Set Legend. Triple M's Dead Set Legend of the Week. We've been there for it all. 4 and 20, Australia's original fan food.
Mate, you are a legend.
Is it too early for a 4 and 20? Anyway, that's made me hungry. But we love to look at Australian sports stars
last night.
Overseas.
Sam
Kerr, we've spoken a lot about her, but she cemented her place among the world's best footballers overnight. She won the Women's Super League Player of the Year award. She is an absolute freak, Sam Kerr.
I feel like she would be Dead Set Legend of the Week multiple times.
She has been multiple. I think Ash Barty still holds the record. Yeah, Ash Barty's won it 3 or 4 times. Sam Kerr's won a couple. But while they are as good as they are and keep dominating overseas, they keep winning our Dead Set Legend of the Week.
Hey, lovely to see you too. As always, enjoy the footy this weekend. The Saturday Rub is up next. This has been Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey Jane Caff.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another Saturday.
Yeah. So, well done, Joey. Hard work's being rewarded.
Just some of my best work.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, and Fox Footy's Kath Lockman. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
You go for it.
We'll be back next week.
Make sure you do a little bit of training. Keep yourself in good shape. Don't come back too fat.
That was always my little one.
Dead Set Legends.